Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We now travel to a place where very, 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 very few people are allowed. Very select people are allowed. We go to the campus at Disney in the NBA bubble with the voice of the NBA on TNT. He does the Brooklyn Nets. We'll be hearing him calling Jet games before you know it. And that, of course, is the great Ian Eagle. Ian, how are
you? What's up, Ian? How are you?
Hey, Joe and Evan. Great to hear your voices. Let me say, Joe, I've heard that you're very concerned about me being in the bubble. I appreciate that. All is well. I'm in more of the diet bubble. I'm not in the full bubble. I'm in the auxiliary bubble.
Well, what does that mean?
There's different tiers. There's different tiers here in Orlando.
Does that mean you're allowed to go out?
No, I'm not allowed to go out. But I'm not in the same zone as the players, the coaches, the officials. I will never see a player or a coach or an official or a staff member. I'm in a different zone, so I'm with TNT people, ESPN people, some NBA people, technical people, camera people, tape guys, audio guys, and we're 10 minutes outside the venue, but there are still restrictions. We can't go out and socialize. I can't go to Disney and get a huge turkey leg. I can't ride Space Mountain. I can pretty much go to my room and then go to the venue and walk around the hotel area. That's about it.
That's it.
Because wow. I see, like, I saw the, I mean, you guys aired it. I saw the Nets are having swim races, you know, having contests, you know, where each guy's swimming.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I know would make Joe very jealous right now.
Oh, and, please, don't even get me.
And they're playing golf. That's why, like, I think you, bro, would love the bubble.
Well,
the bubble,
I mean, look, like, if I got swimming and golf, I'm good.
Well, okay, so where I am in bubble light, there is swimming and there is golf. So, Joe, you could survive this tier. You would be fine.
Yes.
I'm, to be honest, guys, I feel like I was built for this. I prepared 50 years for this moment. I wake up, I do preparation, I take a walk, I come back, I eat, I bathe, I stream some video, I watch games, I do more preparation, I sleep, I rinse, I repeat. That's my day.
How difficult is it doing when you're not at courtside now doing the game? I mean, you know, doing it from, you know, the monitors, whatever you're doing it from. I mean, how difficult is that, if it's difficult at all?
Yeah, so we're about 15 rows up. We are in a plexiglass cubicle, individual cubicles. I'm sitting in my area. Stan Van Gundy is sitting next to me with plexiglass in between us.
I see.
I feel very confident that I will not be assassinated. I think at the very least, I'm going to get through this without any issues on that front. We're very well protected.
That's good.
But there's plexiglass in front of us. So that's definitely different. You're really just in this very controlled, secluded environment. Games going on, things that you normally can pick up on, little nuances and small details, that's just not realistic anymore because you're not there. You're not observing the interaction between players and coach, players and players, officials and coach. None of that is part of your view anymore. But we have really good support. We've got monitors everywhere. We've got a stat machine. They're doing everything in their power to put us in a position to succeed. But it's different. It's not the same, and there's no way that you can simulate it for it to be the same.
Where I thought you guys did a ridiculously awesome job was yesterday, because you and Sarah are in completely different places. Sarah Kustak's
in Brooklyn. Right?
You're in the bubble, and I was saying, boy, this cannot be easy. And you pulled it off. And the one thing that jumped into my mind is RJ could not pull it off. Like, if Richard Jefferson was in Brooklyn, it would have been a disaster. So I'm glad that it was you and Sarah doing it, because you guys nailed it, and that is not an easy situation.
Yeah, the behind the scenes of that, so you have some challenges with video. I'm not getting the feed quite live. I'm getting it a second to 2 seconds behind. And then audio-wise, I'm not hearing Sarah and our producer Frank DeGrace clean in my ear. I'm hearing them basically over a phone line, and you're trying to mesh the voices together. You're trying to stay connected in some way. Sarah and I, just to give you a little bit more insight, we FaceTimed the entire game. So on my phone, I saw Sarah, and on her iPad, she saw me. So that was a nice little way to look at one another, to react, to know when she was finished talking. That actually helped a great deal. But it ended up working out pretty well. I had no idea how it would go. I was confident that it was going to be okay. But after it was all said and done, I thought to myself, all right, we pulled that off somehow.
No, you did. It was a hell of a broadcast, capped off by the fact they actually won. Because if they couldn't beat the Wizards yesterday, they're going 0 for the bubble. I mean, that was my thought.
Yeah, I think they're taking an over. I would agree.
Yes. Go ahead, Joe.
No. You go ahead.
Here's what I was curious about.
That net.
I'm sorry, Joe.
You're not
a part of this, Joe.
Right. I do have a question for Joe, actually. Did you flip at all to the game yesterday out of curiosity, or was it, I'm focused on the Mets and golf, I can't think about the Nets?
The Nets were not in my focus yesterday.
That's fine.
I did see some highlights. They actually put the Barclays Center on the court. Did I see that?
The logo, yeah.
They're superimposing that. I was going to say
that wasn't really on the court. It was just superimposed.
No.
Okay.
Every team has the ability to virtually put that on the screen. So if it's a home game, you get the home music, you get the sound effects, and then you get the ability to put some form of advertisement on the court if that's what you choose.
You know what? And I know this is going to come across like I'm taking a shot at the Nets, but I'm being real honest about this. What made things feel normal yesterday is that you nailed it. You're hearing the PA announcer, you're hearing the same sound effects that you just become used to, the same music, and you don't hear much of a crowd react, which I gotta tell you, I'm sort of used to in Brooklyn, so that when I'm watching the game, it didn't feel different. My question to you is, you're in the arena, you're watching the game, you're hearing obviously all the sounds. Besides the plexiglass, besides like that kind of environment, the broadcast, like when you're broadcasting the game and you're hearing what you hear, does it feel incredibly different? How does it feel?
Yeah, it feels different, but I can't tell you that when you put the headset on and the game starts that it feels like you're doing a completely different event. It feels like the NBA. It looks like the NBA. It sounds like the NBA. And I think that's why fans have responded in such a positive way. I worked that New Orleans-Utah game on opening night of the restart, and I think there was a lot of curiosity from people around the country. All right, what's this going to be like? Right. And they turned it on. They said, wait, this feels like quasi-normal. I know there are no fans there, but the court pops, the sound is vibrant, and the level of play has actually been very competitive. For me as a broadcaster, once the game starts, you kind of get into your muscle memory and you do what you normally would do. The difference is everything surrounding the game. You never get to talk to a coach or see a player. You don't get to chat with somebody from the media like you normally would before a game. And that's part of the experience of covering a game. And coming up with all the different angles that you might come up with, that's taken away from you. So you have to accept that going in. All of our production meetings have been done via Zoom. Any conversation that we've had with a coach has been done either via conference call or via some kind of virtual platform. So that part of it has been different. But for the people at home, the people watching, the fans, I think it's been a very good presentation.
Now, talking to the great Iron Eagle, I got a two-part question for you. Number one, how often are you tested down in the bubble? And number two, are you in the bubble now for the duration through the playoffs? But I guess you can't because you got to do football if there's going to be football. So, but whatever.
Yeah, so Joe, I've been tested three times since I've been here. I got here last Sunday. You get tested twice a week. You're tested on arrival. You have to quarantine until you receive the result of that test. Then, for me, I'm tested every Tuesday and Friday for my stay here in the bubble. As far as staying on, I'm doing the seeding games for TNT, and then I head back to the Northeast, and I'm set to call the playoff games for the Nets on YES. That's the plan. Obviously, all of this was done with the idea that preseason football would be happening. We know that no longer is part of the schedule. And then we sit and wait to see if the NFL gets started on time. And at that point, I'll make the shift and move on to the National Football League.
Talking to the great Iron Eagle, you know, if you look at what's on the line during these seeding games, we know it's not a lot for a lot of teams. Obviously, you got teams battling for the playoffs. The Nets have basically assured themselves they're making the playoffs with that win against the Wizards. But what has surprised me, and maybe I shouldn't be surprised, is that the level of intensity for a lot of these games has been incredibly high, and higher than if it was a game in March. You know, if the Lakers and maybe not Lakers Clippers, maybe that's not a good example, but the Celtic Buck game, which was a really fun game to watch on Friday night.
It was.
The game you did, Utah New Orleans, I feel like it's being played at a higher intensity. Is it that guys are like, hey, listen, man, we're investing so much time being in this bubble, even though it's regular season games, quote unquote, that guys are just more into it? Because that's one of the noticeable differences, that guys have been playing really hard, which we're not necessarily used to when you're down to the final, you know, 8, 6, 7 games of a regular season.
And ultimately, Joe and Evan, that really was the X factor for this whole process. We didn't know going in, would the guys be into it? Would they look at this as the real NBA or just a facsimile that they'll go through the motions? And the answer has been the former, in a resounding fashion. The professional pride that I've seen from the seeding games, which I thought was actually much better than I anticipated. I thought that would be, all right, it's kind of like a practice. No. These guys were competing. But then the level, the jump that took place in that first game that I worked, New Orleans, Utah, and has carried through now for the last 4 or 5 days, you can feel it. These guys want to win. They're keeping score. The games count. Contracts are on the line. Players that are still trying to prove themselves, players that are trying to solidify their standing. It's all very real, and it's coming from a genuine place. I think these guys do like to compete, and maybe that question that's popped up over the years, oh, they play 82 games, they don't bust their butt every single game. Well, so far, what I've seen in the bubble, these guys have come to play. And that's really an interesting part of the story moving forward, because I know we talked about it during one of our conversations during the pandemic. All right, is this going to be an asterisk? Is this going to be one of those seasons that we look back on and we don't really recognize the champion? And if anything, I'm feeling quite the opposite. Whoever wins the title, it is going to be quite an accomplishment and achievement. This roller coaster ride, physically, mentally, emotionally, someone is going to get a great deal of credit. Coaching staff, players, organization, for the way they handled themselves and the way that they went out and won a title. No asterisk in my mind. Legitimate kudos to whoever hoists the trophy at the end of this thing.
Now, my partner brought this up, and I'm going to get back to the Nets, and he brought it up because tomorrow they're playing the Bucks, and nobody's playing. LeVert's not. He's got some kind of an injury. Joe Harris, I guess, is with all the threes he yesterday, he's got an injury. Jared Allen needs a rest because he's, you know, 24 years old and can't possibly play. you know, 2 days, 2 games in 3 days. Is this basically a punt because they know they're losing to the Bucks and figure, okay, we'll give them this game and let's regroup for Boston?
Yeah, I think it's looking at the schedule, 3 games in 4 nights. It's also looking at their current rotation and realizing that the big three, which has emerged, LeVert, Allen, and Harris, they can't play 38 to 40 minutes a night. They can't. The team's just not good enough to withstand that, and it's probably asking a little too much. I understand where you're going, Joe. I just think they're trying to manage the situation more than anything else, and it very well could be an organizational decision. It may not be as simple as Jacques Vaughn decided to do this. It might have been everybody that makes decisions within the Nets talking this over and saying, all right, what's best for the team, and how do we maximize what this team can do in this 8-game run-up to the playoffs? Evan mentioned it. By beating Washington, they've made it virtually impossible now for the Wizards to come back and force a play-in. The Wizards would have to go 3-3 the rest of the way. The Wizards never proved that they could go 3-3 when they had Bradley Beal and Davis Bertans.
Right.
How do they expect to possibly go 3-3 now in the final 6 games? It's not realistic. So I think the Nets know where they fit in, and they're probably just trying to figure out a way to manage it until they get to the postseason.
I mean, they're going to be 30-point underdogs tomorrow. I mean, think about it. Like, their roster of what they're going to start, and they're shorthanded to begin with. I mean, I was thinking in my head, what's the starting lineup going to be? I mean, is it going to be Chris Chioza, Garrett, or Tyler Johnson, Garrett Temple? Is Musa going to start, Lance Thomas and Rhodey? I mean, is that literally going to be their starting five against arguably the best team in the NBA?
That very well could be their starting five, yes. Here's the thing. If you look, Evan, you obviously know this roster really well. You looked at everybody on their roster that, if available, what their rotation would look like, this is the top nine in their rotation that will not be a part of this game.
Yeah.
The top nine.
Top
not the
nine,
top
yeah.
Two, not the top four. The top nine players in their rotation will not play. This is probably unprecedented at this level.
It's crazy. And I'm mixed about it because I get the strategy behind it, and Joe laid it out. They got a better chance to beat the Celtics on a back-to-back, you know, fully ready to go. But I look long-term. And by long-term, I don't mean next year. I mean the playoffs. They have no shot. And it's kind of disappointing because this is really cool. Like, watching the NBA the last 5 days, I think the setup's awesome. And I think you made a great point that, look, you may look at this season as separate from the regular season, and that's fine, but winning an NBA championship in this bubble is going to be really, really special. And it just kind of stinks to not really be in it. I mean, they're in it, but they're not. The Raptors went out and beat up the Lakers the other night. It's not as if by some miracle they get the 7 seed, they can compete with the Toronto Raptors, and God knows they can't compete with the Bucks. They're going to lose 4 straight in the playoffs. They're going to lose every game by 20. That's the reality of it, and I'm not complaining at anybody. They don't have the roster to compete against these teams.
Yeah, I think you have to be realistic about what this is, and the Nets are a part of it. And I think better to be a part of it than not be a part of it. Joe, I have no idea what your feelings are, if you would have liked to have seen some more Nick basketball at some point.
Absolutely not.
All right, well, that answers that. Let's not even delve any deeper.
For what would be the purpose of seeing that? Tell me that. I mean?
The purpose is to see guys go out and compete, to see if Kevin Knox is a player that you might be able to rely on down the road. I guarantee you, and this is why there have been rumors of the other 8 teams getting together, having practices, playing some games. If you're a talent evaluator, if you're somebody in charge of an NBA franchise, you feel as if you've been left out, that you can't develop talent. You can't assess who's on your team and how they respond given competitive circumstances. So I think that's why those teams felt that way. Look, I get it. It's one of those very strange situations if you're a Nets fan, because you know this isn't your team. You know this is not the one that's going to represent you in 2021. But there are pieces there that are important. And the 3 players that we talked about, LeVert, Allen, and Harris, could very well be a part of something moving forward. If the Nets have any aspirations of winning a championship, they still have to figure out where those 3 guys fit in and whether or not they can be a part of the bigger picture that might make a run at a title.
All right, does football happen? I mean, how do you – this is something I'm very concerned about. Does the NFL season get off? Does it start on time? What do you think?
Yeah, all legitimate questions. I think the NFL obviously had a lot of time, and with that time brought, in my mind, maybe a sense of calm that, by the time September rolls around, things will be better, and we'll just go business as usual. Didn't turn out that way. When we hit July and you started to make decisions as to what the future looks like, that's when we heard about the pushback from players about what's the plan, where do we fit in, how are you keeping us healthy and safe, and we're still in that gray area of exactly what it's going to look like. The NFL doesn't have to make that public until the moment that is necessary, when they make decisions and the NFL and the Players Association agree on those decisions. But as of right now, in this moment, you're asking me, will the NFL play this year? My answer would be yes. I think they will. I think they will plow ahead. Mm-hmm. It is big, big business.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to make sure that the business continues. They're not going to just pull the plug until they investigate every possibility. But with that said, there has to be an understanding between the league and the Players Association that conditions are as safe as they possibly can be, and that they've come up with a set of rules and regulations that can make this realistic for 53 players, 10 to now what we're hearing, 16 potential practice squad players, just to have backups in place. That's a whole lot of guys that are at a facility and then going about their lives at the end of the day with their families, with their in-laws, with their cousins, with their neighbors. Monitoring that is going to be a huge challenge and chore. And that's where I think we get into a real dangerous area. You can't just go on the honor system, as we're learning with MLB. It's not that simple. You can't say, hey, guys, you get it? You understand what we're doing? Okay, great. No. Everybody has to buy in. That's why the NBA thing is working. They are in a controlled format. They can monitor each player. When you can't do that, you're putting a lot to chance.
Yeah, I read Peter King wrote in his column this morning that the Saints are basically creating a bubble for training camp where the entire team and personnel are in a hotel. They're the only ones in the hotel. They go from hotel to practice facility. It's a great idea, but to ask guys to do that away from their family between August and January, it's a lot. I think that's why the NBA has been able to pull this off in the NHL too, in that if you go out and get to the NBA Finals, you're in the bubble for a while. But for a lot of teams, it's not extended. I mean, the Nets are not going to be there forever. Certainly a team like the Wizards aren't. And, you know, even solid teams, they get knocked out in the first round, they're done. You get knocked out in the second round, you're done. That's the problem I think baseball had with doing a bubble, and it's the problem the NFL is going to have. It's impossible to ask guys to be away that long, you know?
Yeah, and the buy-in has to be universal. It can't be, I'm kind of in, I understand, I want to get paid. No. It has to be universal, and you're right. Asking every individual player to do it, it's probably unrealistic. There are just too many different personalities, different people that have different situations, different family situations, different financial situations. So a lot of this is going to be by chance, and when we're dealing with what we're dealing with around the country right now, it's not just so simple that you can sit back and say, well, I just hope it's going to be okay. This is not enough.
What did you think of the Jamal Adams trade?
Surprised they got two number ones, to be perfectly honest. But I guess Seattle was really locked in on adding him to their defense. And I think he'll fit in well there. Don't get me wrong. I think,
of course.
I think he'll play very well for them. But at some point, he followed the handbook of how to get out of Dodge. When you start ripping owner, management, coach, organization, eventually you just hit the quinella. And I don't think it was a tenable situation anymore. And the Jets remained very mum so that they could at least negotiate and try to find a deal. I thought the Jets actually did quite well, but what those picks turn into, who knows?
Indeed.
That's the thing. Stinks to see him go, but you're right. He did everything he could to get the heck
out of
town.
He'll win a Super Bowl with Seattle. He'll be another. I have counted at least, so far, only off the top of my head, I have 6 number one Jet draft choices that have won Super Bowls with other teams. Mm. 6. So he would be the 7th.
Joe, do you remember there was an article so many years ago that had the former Mets and what they did after they left the organization, and it was Amos Otis. It was a whole litany of
Nolan
Mets.
Ryan. No,
Nolan Ryan.
Right.
It was a similar feel. This was before the Mets won it in 86 when they were going through their drought.
Right.
And it had a very similar feel to this, that you just felt everybody that the team got rid of would flourish somewhere else. You know, the hope is the Jets can obviously catch lightning in the bottle with Sam Darnold, but you got to have guys that can protect them, and you certainly need better skill position players. To me, that's what stood out last year. There just weren't a whole lot of guys that would scare you on a scouting report when you were an opposing defense or defensive coordinator, and until they solidify those areas to give Darnold a level playing field with the teams that he's going up against, it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, look, this is going to be about the development of Sam. That's what this whole year is going to be about, and hopefully it happens. That's the hope.
Let's hope so.
Yep. Ian, enjoy the bubble. Enjoy your stay. Get a couple of laps in of swimming. Hit the golf ball straight if you choose to do any of that, and stay safe.
Yeah. Stay healthy, bro.
Joe, Evan, thank you. Joe, I'll walk the golf course for you. I don't play, but I'll just do it as an homage to you.
That's a tribute.
I tell you, I'd be all over it. Swimming and golf. I'm good.
You'd
Let's
love
go.
It. You'd love the bubble.
Let's go. I'm in.
Yes. Thank you, Ian. You're the best.
See you, bro.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
Ian Eagle. You see him on TNT every Tuesday night and, of course, doing the Net games. Nets are playing the Bucks tomorrow right here on The Fan, in which nobody's playing. They play the Celtics right after that. They are destined to be the 8th seed. They'll take on Milwaukee in the first round, and it will be one of the most lopsided 4-game sweeps in the history of the NBA. That's my prediction. And that's not being negative. That's just being realistic.
Right.
I'm a realistic guy.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.